As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. We are running through the states of the programs and very interesting times that we are in college athletics. Brody Miller, our LSU beat writer at The Athletic, joins me because we've talked about a bunch of different programs, Brody, and kind of where everybody's at with NIL and with their coaching staff and their recruiting and their collectives and all that stuff. But LSU, just in an interesting place, period. They fired a coach who had won a national title 2 years earlier, make a huge splash by taking Notre Dame's coach, and now we get down to the actual business of football.
Yeah, no, it's been in a fascinating territory because I wouldn't say unprecedented, but it's pretty bizarre territory.
Yeah.
Going from what they've gone through, the way it collapsed, and then hiring the polar opposite human being in Brian Kelly in such a strange time. So it's been a fascinating few months because I think the sentiment a lot of people, you know, myself included, I guess, has been, hey, LSU is this program that Sleeping Giant's not accurate because they've won two titles recently.
I would say they're a giant. You know, a very awake giant.
Yes, but there is that thing of for like 20 years, they've been kind of run not exactly well and still can win a title every
year. Yeah, a little bit of a mom and pop operation for a while.
Yeah,
and yeah.
There's this inconsistency that is rooted at the top to some extent. And now the idea has been, hey, if you put the selling point on their end, I guess I'd say, is like if you put that grown up in the room, if you put that guy who knows how to actually run a program like I hate the CEO thing, but still like a good CEO.
But I think that's probably an accurate assessment of the Brian Kelly era at Notre Dame.
I think that
post 2016.
That is accurate. Yeah. I guess the entire like thesis of this whole thing is like we're all going to find out is Brian Kelly, did he take them to Notre Dame to their ceiling and LSU is going to get more out of it? Or are you going to find the limitations going to get exponentially worse?
Right. Or you could find out that Brian Kelly maybe was well suited for Notre Dame.
Yes.
And not as suited. But the fit thing, like every time this comes up, exactly.
Yeah.
Every time this comes up, the example I give is the guy LSU just fired.
Yes.
No one fit better at a place than Ed Orgeron fit at LSU, and they fired him.
And then, of course, the big one is Nick Saban did not fit the culture at LSU when he came down there. That was the biggest thing everyone was like.
He established the blueprint everyone else has followed.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just like when has that ever like changed the success of a coach in a school? I can't think of many. No, and I think the 4 months that we've seen so far, I think that theory is so far coming true of just watching Brian Kelly run a program. Do I have questions about the scheme stuff on the field or how he's going to do recruiting? Of course I do. And those fears aren't going away. But watching him run a program, you actually, you can't understate it or overstate it. There is a difference in how that program is run. You talk to people in that building and there is just a difference in clarity and accountability and understanding the communication of what you're wanted to do on a given day.
Yeah.
And you watch practice, and again, I'm not making too much of practice, but it's like there is a literal difference in watching practice of like everybody knows what they're doing and it is a controlled chaos. So that part, I actually am in a place of optimism of like, I think he's going to get this thing rolling. I just don't know the ceiling.
Well, that's the thing. After that staff overhaul following the 2016 season, and I think Kelly had to do some soul searching after that too. But you look at what Notre Dame put on the field, you kind of knew what you were going to get.
Yeah.
It felt like the floor was very high.
Yeah.
We don't know where the ceiling was. And that is the question because I think part of why you move from Notre Dame to LSU is the feeling that LSU has kind of this unlimited ceiling. And 2 years ago, they had maybe the best college football team that ever existed.
Yeah, it's up there. I mean, yeah, there's something about margins, right? It's like people are dunking on him for the recruiting and like how it's easier to recruit Louisiana. It's in your backyard. That's not about being, I mean, maybe you could argue it's about being lazy. I don't know. But like, it's about margins. It's like Notre Dame's a larger margin job on a day-to-day basis.
You have to recruit the whole country. Yes. And oh, by the way,
you might miss.
Here's a bunch of guys you're not allowed to recruit because 100%. You can't get them in.
Yeah, and it's like LSU. Yeah. It's not saying lazy. It's just simple. Like, you by default should have a top 10 class every year. Yeah, we're going to find out if he can get those top three classes. Absolutely. That's big. But you by default should have that. So his margins change a little bit. So yeah. And I think it is accurate to say he is rejuvenated right now. Like, yeah, that can sound corny, but that is accurate to people around him.
Right.
Like, he is rejuvenated. The fair question on that is like, will he still be rejuvenated in 3 years?
Right. Because this is a job that will beat you down. Ask the last couple of people that had it.
It will beat you down. Yeah. Right now he's in prove everyone wrong mode a little bit. Like, yeah, you don't ever know how long it's going to last. But right now I think he is in like F you where I'm going to prove you wrong mode.
Now, my question is what they're going to look like, because we've seen LSU underwhelm the last couple of years, but there have been moments. Like, they go to Florida in 2020 and win that game. But now the quarterback who won that game is at Texas A&M.
Yes.
Miles Brennan was gone, and now he's back.
Yeah.
Walker Howard was kind of the savior coming in. He's coming in.
Yep.
But then you get Jaden Daniels as a transfer from Arizona State, who was a three-year starter. What happens there?
Yeah, I think, well, with quarterback, if we're starting there, I think the honest answer is they don't know right now.
Yeah.
Like, I think coming out of spring, they actually feel they made it harder. And I think it's a good thing. Like, I know it can sound fake when we say that, but no, I think all three of those Walker Howard's going to probably redshirt. He's prepared for that.
Yeah.
He's not quite there. He's an early enrollee. But Garrett Nussmeier.
Garrett Nussmeier, I forgot.
Yeah, yes. Top 100 guy who, like, people got mad at. He was a raw freshman who showed some really good stuff. You could make an argument he had the best spring. Like, he had the best spring game. Coaches raved about him. But then Brennan.
Dad is Dallas Cowboys assistant, former Florida, Alabama, Michigan offensive coordinator.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he is one of those guys who make throws where you're just like, oh, no one else can make that throw.
Yeah.
You know? And he has that like Manziel-esque trait sometimes. But then Brennan's the guy they probably trust the most.
Right.
And it's not like he's a boring trust the most. Like, he's a big arm guy who threw for 370
yards.
That's
the thing.
Game.
Brennan in 2020 was rolling. Like, their defense stunk.
And he was getting better each game.
Yeah.
For like game one, it was like shaky, but he still threw for 350
right.
by Missouri. By the way, people forget the Missouri game. He threw for 400 yards with a torn abdominal for three quarters.
Oh.
And I think that's the thing people miss with the Daniels thing. It isn't just like we think it's this. It's, again, probabilities.
Right.
Brennan's a guy who is very good, but you have no confidence he's going to be healthy. He's missed 3 of 4 years.
Right.
Because he broke his arm in a fishing accident, for those who don't know, last summer.
That's
before.
Right. I completely forgot about that.
Like, it's just bizarre. He had a back injury in 18. And then, you know, Daniels is a guy who, his upside's massive, but he also has had two rough years, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's about playing probabilities. And I think they're like, hey, let's get the best guys and we're going to find them. So the point is, I think they're going into the summer genuinely not knowing who's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably realistic to say, hey, maybe Brennan's the starter.
Yeah.
Daniels is going to play. You know, like, they're going to, as much as he's downplaying that we don't want to play two quarterbacks, I think it's realistic.
Well, if you're Nussmeier, though, you hang around if you're in the hunt, right?
That's been the big question around. Just talking to people, I think he gets it. I think he realizes, like, 2023 was always the realistic timeline. Redshirt sophomore, him and Walker Howard are battling out for that job.
Mm.
Obviously, he's with his dad.
Right.
He gets it.
His dad is not going to say, you know, because his dad's been involved in a lot of those situations.
Exactly.
His dad is actually one of the people who helped unearth Kyle Trask.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not that he's seen some situations where you had to kind of wait your turn.
So I think Nussmeier gets it. I think he's patient. And by the way, I'm not ruling out him winning the job. Like, he does look special.
Right.
You could argue he actually is the most upside.
So I'm curious about this. You're Brian Kelly.
Yeah.
You did, close the deal on Walker Howard, but Walker Howard was already committed to the previous staff.
Correct.
None of these guys are really your guy.
True.
Do you have more license to not be too precious about the decision? Like, we'll just whoever's going to work, we'll take him.
Oh, I think there's a lot of validity to that. I mean, the bringing Daniels in alone shows that to some extent.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't have to play any game.
I don't have to play the politics.
And to your point, Walker's the only one he recruited. First off, he was coming anyway. Second, he's the only one who knows I'm probably not starting this year. So you just don't have to worry about it. Yeah, I think there's truth to that. And they've kind of, because the deadline's passed, like, they've kind of played it well where, like, no one can really, obviously there's ways, but it doesn't look like anyone can leave right now. So you are in a good situation to have. And I actually feel confident whoever does get the start is good enough to win a lot of games in the SEC. It's the other things I worry about.
How crazy will it be if three quarterbacks that LSU signed wind up starters in the SEC West this year. It's entirely possible, by the way. Max Johnson at A&M and Finley at Auburn.
Yep. No, I mean, it's the thing that Ogeron actually does deserve credit for is quarterback had been this just disaster at LSU.
Right.
Not disaster strong, but it was a weakness for 20 years or whatever. And to think going into last spring, they had four legitimate SEC starters on that roster. He stacked the room. He gets credit for Walker Howard, too. You know, he did stack that room and left it in a place where there is continuity there.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's just wild to me that it feels like the LSU, what's the diaspora? There's a lot of... A lot of guys that they had who could play. Now, they have, as usual, quite a bit of talent on the roster. Kayshon Boutte comes back at receiver.
B.J. Ojulari should be a first-round pick. Yep. Mason Smith might be the best lineman in the country if he flicks. Like, they got dudes. I think the best – and you might see a little bit of what you saw the last two years, where it's – I think the top of this roster is elite. Like, you know, the top 12 guys. And I think I view this season, not to go right to it, but as, like, on the right night, they can beat any team.
Yes.
But the infrastructure that Ogeron left is troubled, and you can't beat around that bush.
Yeah.
The depth is not there. Just the I don't know how many guys you'd say they genuinely trust, things like that.
And given where the division they play in.
Yes.
Because that right night thing, there's also other, like, Arkansas, Mississippi State,
there's
and Ole Miss on the right night can beat anybody,
there's
too.
There's no cakewalk.
Yeah.
So my thing is, you know, I always say 8-4 is my general thing. And you could tell me they could win 11 of those 12 games in theory. But when you have depth problems, that's when it shows up that you also lose the games you shouldn't. So
we'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
LSU is an interesting one because we were talking to Mitch Sherman about Nebraska, and it feels like NIL sort of changes the math for Nebraska, especially regarding getting transfers. Yeah. Like the older, kind of wiser players can look at, oh, they have resources, they have passionate fans, I can be a rock star there. LSU is a little different animal in that they have always been attractive to people within their state. Like, it doesn't matter who's coaching the team. There are guys in Louisiana who want to play at LSU. Yeah. But they also have that passionate fan base that you'd think would be able to put together a pretty good NIL situation.
Yeah, I think they're in a very tricky situation right now. And by the way, I assume in the long haul they will be fine, but right now they are behind, and I think they would tell you that. I think, and that's what's going to be so fascinating with recruiting right now, is that Alabama has it rolling. Texas A&M has it rolling. Florida appears as having it rolling, and you have the Billy Napier, like, Louisiana connections there.
Right.
So I think they are in a tough spot because, one, they just paid, you know, Ed Ogeron, what was it, $17 million.
People forget that they have to go pass the hat when they do that.
Yes, exactly.
They have to go hit up donors and say, can you write a check for this or pledge some money so that we can cover this?
Then you give Brian Kelly a $100 million contract.
Yeah.
Also, you just had to hire a new basketball coach. Just paid Kim Mulkey all that money.
Yeah.
So I think there's a little bit of a situation of some of the big boosters being like, really, now you want me to buy your roster too? And I think they are, I mean, they're going to be okay, but they are a little behind.
A little sticker shock right now.
I think there was a slow rollout in terms of getting those people to step up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Kayshon Boutte is the number one example. It's not a secret that he was, you know, might be one of the best receivers in the country and was flirting with going to Alabama or other schools.
But at least they were smart enough to make a deal about, because that's, I think a lot of schools get obsessed with the shiny new toys and forget to take care of the ones that have actually been producing for them.
That's 100% valid. So they did have some big boosters step up and, you know, genuinely save the Kayshon Boutte situation,
yeah.
Which it's like there's more to be written about that, because that was kind of one of the first, like, hey, they literally just saved a guy from going to a rival. So, yeah, I think they're getting there. They're paying the guys on their team. But, yeah, I think they're a ways away right now in terms of – and their laws are about to change to mm-hmm. open things up with collectives and whatnot.
And they changed their high school association rule very quickly.
Yes.
To make it where – yep. High school players in Louisiana can do NIL deals, which, again, LSU enjoys an advantage that other schools don't, where in-state players really do want to come. So that's got to help.
The X factor for me is Brian Kelly in all this.
Yeah.
Because Brian Kelly, the recruiter historically, one, yeah, people might call him a lazy recruiter, but two, like, he's not a guy getting dirt, you know, doing the things that other people might have been doing a lot of the time. But now
he would hire a staff that would be beating the bushes and that sort of thing, but he was not Nick Saban or Kirby Smart aggressive as a recruiter. Yeah,
but it's going to be fascinating to see how he handles NIL, because now it is out there, and I mm-hmm. think he might be more comfortable doing some of these things.
Yeah,
and it's because he is this political guy. He is this very good operative guy. I'm not saying I'm confident this will happen, but I'm just really curious to see what he's like in terms of maybe he's somebody who can thrive in NIL because he is that smart organizer and all these things. But I just don't know. I think they're just in a tough situation. And again, I think long term they will catch up and be fine. They're LSU, they'll be fine,
right?
But they are just a little bit in short term and catch up.
It is funny that they're LSU, they'll be fine. Like but it's true. I mean, really, since Nick Saban set the blueprint, and you know, prior to that, no, they weren't fine. Yeah. They were, despite their advantages and resources, they were a very average program
for a long time.
But once Nick Saban showed them, kind of unlocked it. It seems like they've been able to follow the blueprint.
Absolutely. I mean, basically for 18 years after Saban, is it 18? Yeah. It was following some version of the Saban rule book mm-hmm. and still being a team that is, even on your down years, the top 15 team until lately. But yeah, you were always in that 9-3 zone on your bad years. You're absolutely right. And again, it goes back to the thing at the beginning. It's just going to be fascinating to see. Now you have, again, I'm not saying Kelly's Nick Saban, but in that mold, in that same...
Like, a guy who came from somewhere else, who was... Now, Kelly was more successful than Saban was, but Kelly was a lot further along in his career as a head coach.
There's no precedent for Kelly making this move.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fascinating just in that sense of, is it fair to say, and I would love to know your thoughts on this, like when you're thinking of, and again, I hate CEO title, but the best process guys in football, Saban's one, right?
Yeah.
Where's Kelly? 2, 3?
He's up there. And the thing is, that travels.
Yes.
I don't think it matters where you are. And I think with Kelly, you look at where he's been. So Division II, he won.
Yes.
And Group of Five, he won. Higher level Group of Five, he won. Yep. Well, actually, Cincinnati was in the Big East by the end of it. So they were a BCS conference when he was there. And then he goes and wins at Notre Dame. Now, there were fits and starts. He had the great year in 2012. Yep. And then they had some bumps. But he did seem to find that, and it is about kind of finding that formula.
Yeah.
He found the formula at Notre Dame. The formula at LSU is different, but I think what helps him is it has been mapped out already. Like, you don't have to go find it.
That's absolutely right. The ways to recruit Louisiana are straightforward. Maybe to some extent it's changing now because recruiting is entirely different, so maybe that's not entirely accurate. But, yeah, it's there, it's simple, and it's like if he puts in the effort, he hired a pretty good-looking staff, like, you should get back to rolling where they were. Absolutely.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you look at Notre Dame, we'll see if Marcus – I would assume Marcus Freeman will follow a similar blueprint there. He's a more aggressive recruiter.
Yes, no doubt.
So, you know, it'll be really up to him as an X's and O's guy on the field on game day to find out if he's, you know, going to have the same amount of success or more or less. But do what they've been doing structurally because it works.
Elevate it. Yeah. I guess the perfect scenario is you keep that system and then elevate your ceiling in Notre Dame with the recruiting. Yeah, like that's totally possible. I mean, can you think of another situation where, like, two coaches and, you know, switching schools essentially, like, it is literally going to be the biggest test case on what both programs or both coaches are. Like, we are literally going to find out the truth about Notre Dame.
Yes.
We are literally going to find out the truth about Brian Kelly. It's very rare that it's literally right in front of you, just straightforward. Like, hey, it's all the situation, the pieces are in place.
Yes.
It's who are you? And it's kind of fascinating.
It is really fascinating. And Brian Kelly, now look, Notre Dame plays a tough schedule most years. But Brian Kelly is now in a shark tank. Like, he has Nick Saban every year. Until the SEC changes the schedule, Nick Saban every year. Jimbo Fisher every year. He'll have Lane Kiffin, Mike Leach every year. Sam Pittman every year. These are really good head coaches. Yeah. And oh, by the way, you might have to see Kirby Smart.
Absolutely.
And you have to see Billy Napier.
And that's such an important thing to add, because as much as like I'll talk about like, hey, his ceiling might be higher because he has a higher floor of talent, it's like, yeah, but the floor of your competition is different.
Where, that's what, when one of your quote unquote easy games, which will not be easy, Mike Leach is on the other sideline. Yep. Like, that is hard.
No, absolutely. You're like, and I think that's, I don't know, that's what makes this year so fascinating, is that like he needs to capitalize on the rest of the SEC. His schedule is in flux right now.
Yeah.
Like Auburn, obviously in a weird situation.
Yeah.
Florida, rebuilding a little bit.
Yep.
You know, it's just like everybody's kind of in flux except for Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State, the opener.
And they don't have Georgia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like, they, I'm not going to, obviously I'm not pretending this year is going to decide the Kelly thing, but there is a little bit of like, you kind of need to capitalize on
that. Get them now, because it's going to be tough. Like, and that's the thing with Florida, people are watching Napier and how he recruits.
Yep.
It looks like he's doing.
And you and I are big Napier guys.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And it looks like he's doing the things he needs to do. But this is what I keep telling the Florida people. I'm like, it's still really hard.
Yeah.
He may or may not be able to get it done. He knows what he's supposed to do. You still got to prove you can do it.
Yeah.
And Kelly's proven he can do it. Now, can he prove it week after week against this kind of competition?
Which brings us to the whole Kelly Napier thing, because that was, it's like, again, we're talking about the whole Freeman, Kelly, we're going to find out who's who. It's actually, I can promise you, the conversation in South Louisiana so much is Napier versus Kelly for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
And I mean, you and I was always like, hey, why is LSU not reaching out to him? It did seem like an ego thing. It did seem like you don't want to go for the guy down.
Maybe they already had Brian Kelly.
Absolutely.
On the hook.
But it's just going to be because they aren't that different of coaches in a lot of ways. Yeah. Because, you know, Napier is Saban, right? That's like the whole comp everyone makes. And it's like my argument to make LSU fans calmer is like, Kelly is what you assume Napier will be in a few years in terms of like, so I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, where Napier is in his career, this is maybe when. It's actually probably he's less head coaching experience than when Kelly got to Notre Dame. Kelly had already been a head coach for a long time at that point. He had been Cincinnati's head coach. He'd been Central Michigan's head coach.
25 years.
He had won championships at Grand Valley State. Like
50.
So yeah, he has been a CEO. There's your favorite phrase again.
Hate it.
For acronym. For a long, long time. So I think that matters. So that's what... You know, you can clown Brian Kelly for the family thing and the photo shoots. None of that really matters.
It doesn't matter. Also, my favorite thing on that, which, by the way, I'm not afraid to dunk on at all. Like, but, like, my favorite thing about the dancing thing is, like, people are acting like he was just like, I want to go dance. And it's like, your five-star quarterback said, Coach, come dance with me. And he's just like, sure.
We've seen Nick Saban dance,
by the way.
He's very good at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
As one won't expect from a former D1 DB.
I was going to say, there's nothing Nick Saban isn't going to be pretty solid at.
We'll be right back after these words.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
The whole thing we're talking about, I think Scott Woodward has proven his philosophy on this stuff is probabilities, right? It's that thing of like, Napier might be the best coach in college football in 10 years,
right?
But there is a higher probability that, and it's like someone like a Kelly or a Jimbo at A&M, it's like, I don't know if Jimbo's going to win you a title at A&M, but the probability of him being a failure is very small.
Well, and that's, it's a great test case, because this is Scott Woodward's other kind of marquee hire. I guess Chris Peterson at Washington too, but with Jimbo at Texas A&M, he is doing all the things you're supposed to do.
Yep.
Will he break through? We don't know.
That's a great point.
But I would argue he's doing exactly what Kirby Smart was doing at Georgia before he broke through.
No doubt.
And I think, like you said, the math tells you
yep.
if you keep doing it that way, you keep getting bites at the apple, You will break through.
I mean, I live my life by that, which is maybe why I'm a boring person. But like
the analytics.
Yeah, it's just like, guys, like this isn't all or nothing at all times. It's like, I mean, I have covered a good amount of college baseball and people always use the example of like, guys, you just have to get to the Omaha.
Yes.
After that, it's a crapshoot. There is no like no clear best winner in Omaha.
No, because even if you have the best pitching staff in the world, like one dude could get shelled the first night and all of a sudden you're Johnny Holstaff the rest of the way. Yeah.
And it's obviously not that literal with college football, but it's a little bit. That's how I view it. It's like A&M, for example, is in that mix every year to be one of the five most talented teams in college football. Mm-hmm. You hope they break through. And if they don't, by the way, you maybe have harder conversations, but like they are doing everything you need to do.
And that's what I kept telling, because you know how the Georgia people get. They're very fatalist. And until they broke through this year, like they kind of were like, it's never going to happen. Yeah. And I'm like, guys, you keep winning the SEC East over and over and over again and keep getting top five recruiting classes over and over and over. Eventually, the breaks will go your way.
Exactly. Like, finishing second does not mean you, like, I don't know. It's just so frustrating. I'm trying to think of the right way to phrase this, but it's just like this mentality of each second that you're not number one. It's the whole thing of like, it feels worse to lose a Super Bowl than it does to lose in the AFC Championship, though.
Correct.
You know, it's a little bit of that, though, where it's just like, you're just so mad you're not there, but remember, no one else got you there. Like,
well, we just have to remember that for the programs in the SEC that consider themselves national title contenders, I think. We realistically say Alabama, LSU,
Georgia,
Texas A&M, and Florida and Auburn feel this way. And I think Tennessee feels this way, but probably shouldn't feel that way. But
no comment.
But Florida and Auburn, hey, they've won national titles this century. Yeah. So
a slightly harder roadmap, maybe.
But they all their philosophy, all of them in the fan base is, you know, the great Richard Bobby. If you ain't first, you're last.
You're damn right. But as his father eventually told him, you can be second, you can be third, hell, you can be fifth. So I don't know. Maybe which wisdom should we actually take from that? And
I don't know that we should ever take Reese Bobby's wisdom.
I'm proud that you remember the first name, honestly.
Gary Cole. Gary Cole's
I knew
legend.
Gary Cole, but I couldn't remember the dad's name. And
that's right.
It's lore.
It's unbelievable. But that's the thing. It's hard to get that out of their minds. And that's why... It was funny when the Dan Mullen stuff started happening, and it was the LSU loss where I knew it was over.
Yes.
But
which ironically ended up being what also Ed gets fired instead the next
was
day.
Already and had already been fired.
I know,
really,
I know.
But it's one of those things where I start talking on the show about, okay, something's going to happen at Florida, and the Florida fans and the LSU fans and the Alabama fans are like, so sure looks like something is.
Yeah.
And the fan bases in the rest of the country are like, what do you mean? Are you nuts?
Exactly. Again, the theme here is the math is just different in the SEC. And but also the thing that we forget that throws off the math is just Saban.
Like, right.
It skews everybody's normal metric. Because normally if you are as good as A&M is, you will have
You're going to have a
there.
Championship season.
You would have gotten there by now. Yeah. And it's just different. Because there's four teams in the SEC West that believe they can win a title. And it's like, that's why I don't care. Like, I don't have a rooting interest. But I can't wait for the day like that happens. Just out of intrigue.
Yeah.
It's kind of like now, the Tiger but Tiger being out of it. And it's like, anyone could win a major.
I do kind of wonder, though. When Saban retires,
just somebody else actually.
Will Kirby already be there?
Yeah, that's valid.
That's the issue.
That is very valid. He might just be the new Saban.
Because Nick always said the Georgia job was the best job, and if the wrong person to Georgia the right person ever got in there, it was a problem, and it's a problem.
No, I mean that's why I always agreed with you and Ari on your rankings pods every year, because I'm like, Georgia's no doubt number one. So that's fair. Yeah, maybe it does just change, but also like. History shows nobody stays at the top as long as Saban has.
Them. No, yeah, like, this is an anomaly.
Urban
yeah.
or whatever, it's like there's a window, and then if it's just, I don't think you'll ever see this
Pete
again.
Carroll, as good as those teams were, like they were great from 2003 to 2008, and then they weren't.
Exactly, like eventually, it's hard to keep it clicking that long. It's why we live in this era of like the LeBrons and the Tigers and the Sabins, where it's like the Belichicks, where it's like history says it never doesn't fall off.
Yeah.
Because things just, you're human.
Yeah. And now LSU's trying to game that system by getting a coach who is process oriented, who has had success at multiple different levels. And we'll see if that works. I think the big swing was the right move. Now you're right. I hadn't thought about it this way, but we don't know if Florida and LSU are going to play every year because the SEC is going to change that schedule around. But if they do, it will be a kind of a referendum game every year
year.
The choices those people made.
Because there is a decent percent. I mean, I think most people realize Kelly was a great hire. And it's not one or the other. But there is a decent population of people who are just kind of angry at Scott Woodward. It's like, why are you letting, you know, ego or whatever get in the
way? And there are Florida people who are like, wait, you, Scott Strickland, you knew Brian Kelly was maybe movable and you didn't?
Fair.
Because he went straight at Billy Napier. There was really no, you know, zigging or zagging. Like, that was the choice all along. And so he will have to defend that if it doesn't work. So
yeah, because I mean, I guess they're both rebuilding in a way, so that's not fair. But and the part that Scott Woodward will probably never admit, because he will say champions are our standard and all that. Mm-hmm. The part that he'll never admit is the thing that appeals to Kelly. And I'm sorry that our theme here is probabilities.
CEO.
Oh yeah. No, but it's to some extent about making sure 6-6 never happens again.
Right.
Like, I feel confident.
Raising the floor.
Yes. I feel confident that Kelly, but also goes to the bite at the apple thing, where it's like, I feel confident Kelly will, if he gets it rolling, will live at 10-2. You know, like that is to some extent
which
appealing.
Is where Les lived, which is why Les.
But even Les was 8-4, 9-3.
That's true. He had a couple, yeah.
First off, 9-3 in the SC West, you're still near 16.
Pretty good,
like,
yeah.
It's not bad. Like, yeah. I always have to yell that at people. But yeah, so I think it's, there's more to that than I think a lot of people realize. It's just like being a program that no longer has these just insane valleys.
Yeah. And LSU's not Auburn in terms of the roller coaster, but it is,
or at least it shouldn't.
It is closer to Auburn than it is to Alabama.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless the Saban thing, maybe Saban isn't a fair metric. I don't know. But,
it's not.
But
well, okay, it's closer to Auburn than it is to Georgia. Mark Richt and Kirby Smart,
one.
Georgia.
That's dead on, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Kirby, Richt had one terrible year, but for the most part was pretty good, and Kirby's not had a bad year since he's been there.
No, I would completely agree with that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting to watch, and you know, it still is weird to me when I see pictures of Brian Kelly in his LSU gear. It just doesn't look right, but I don't have I'm not going to talk about fit ever again after Ed Orgeron got fired. Like,
exactly.
Ever.
It's the silliest thing in the world to me. It's like the thing of every school being like, got to hire one of our own. And it's like, but you're hiring one of your own about replacing a guy who didn't go there anyway.
We can talk about the metrics again.
Yeah.
The metrics show it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Because 80%, not all the time, like UNC, they kind of were UNC guys, right? Basketball, stuff like that. But most of the time, the guy that you care about keeping the system of was an outsider. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Bob Knight, just because IU loved hiring IU guys. Like, Bob Knight was not from IU.
Correct.
He built it. So then why are you keep trying to just keep Knight guys or something like that?
Yeah. And that's, it's hard.
Michigan,
I mean, and you've seen that in a lot of places. Yeah. And sometimes when you go outside, that's, you get new ideas. You get something that you would not have gotten otherwise.
Or maybe even more simply, you either are good at it or you're not.
Yeah. Maybe you're either good at the job or not.
I think life sometimes is that simple. Yeah.
Podcasts sometimes are that simple too. Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Brody.